Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
It is Holy Smokes Catholic Review. I am your host, Father Scott, flying solo, somewhat. William is up in Colorado, Estes Park. He's a part of a wedding party. We have two friends. Actually, we have more than two, but these two particular friends, Chanel and Dave, getting married in Estes Park, Colorado. I think it's like 13,000 feet up. And it's winter, so there's going to be a lot of snow. It's going to be cold. So that's where he is. He'll be back in a few days. Tony is in Indiana taking care of his mother. I'm told he will be back in January. All right. But in a little while on this program, all right, going to be helping me with a cigar review and also reviewing the gospel, Father Jimmy Marshall, who's no stranger to this particular podcast. All right. Very excited. All right, so Christmas it is. It continues to be Christmas, and you can continue to say Christmas for a while, all right, because for us Catholics, you know, maybe for non-Catholics, Christmas is a daytime thing or a one-day thing. For us, it's a whole season, all right? In fact, let me just tell you, there's a really great article that appeared, it was either on New Advent or on SpiritDaily.com by Billy Ryan. And he asked the question, when does Christmas actually end? And so he answers the question. All right. So he breaks it down. There are three different ways to look at the Christmas season. First of all, there's the Christmas octave. Octave meaning 8 days. Okay. So the first day would be Christmas Day. And then 8 days after that would be the feast of the solemnity or the solemn feast of Theotokos, Mary, the Mother of God. Okay. There's also the liturgical Christmas season, which will end with the feast of the baptism of the Lord. But then there is Christmastide, and I'm just going to read from his article. All right. In the older tradition kept in the liturgical year of extraordinary form of Mass, the whole Christmastide season lasts for 40 days, corresponding to the 40 days of Lent. That concludes with Candlemas on February 2nd, also known as the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Presentation of the Lord. So when someone asks you when Christmas ends, ask them, do you mean the Christmas octave, the liturgical Christmas season, or Christmas tide? There you go. So by the way, with this last one, you know, the Christmas tide, those 40 days. So if it's February 1st and you're still saying Merry Christmas, you'd not be wrong. You're going to get funny looks. I mean, people are going to look at you funny. Okay, but you would not be wrong. All right, so there you go. I had a great Christmas, a lot of fun. We had great crowds. Church was so beautifully decorated. The music was great. Everything went well. I was just in a great mood preaching on Christmas Eve at the 4 o'clock Mass. I went full-out Baptist preacher for about 2 minutes, and it was just so much fun, gotta tell you. So music was great, everything was great, I was in a great mood once again, and I think the reason for this is, and I mentioned this on a previous podcast, how for me, a few years back, Christmas just wasn't fun anymore, because when I was a kid, it was so fun, you know, I loved it, but kind of lost my Christmas joy, and I figured out finally that by the time, you know, it's so hectic and chaotic, and with all the parties, there's just so much parties, and there's just lots of food, and there's booze and everything else, And there's so many parties, sometimes three in one day. There's a Christmas, and not even Christmas, it's Lent or Advent. It's Advent. Lent's another time. We'll talk about that later. But Advent, not even Christmas, but yet there's Christmas breakfast, Christmas luncheon, Christmas parties. And I was doing so many of these Christmas, you know, gatherings. Just by the time the celebration came along, I just didn't want to celebrate anymore. So burnt out. So I kind of put the kibosh on that and reduced that down to an occasional Christmas party with close friends, spending a lot of time in front of the Blessed Sacrament in quiet prayer. And, you know, I started this like 2 years ago. The past 2 years have been, and this one especially, it was just in such a great mood and just had a lot of fun, just loved it. And still having a great time as I celebrate the birth of our Lord, okay? All right, so listen, coming up, I don't know, I'm recording this on Monday, so I don't know if you'll hear this before the Feast of Our Lady, Theotokos, if you want to be fancy about it, the Mother of God, the Solemn Feast. So we're celebrating the motherhood of Mary. She is the Mother of God. She's also the Mother of the Church. She's the Mother of the Angels. She's the Mother of all saints, okay? So Mother of God, I have a couple of, and I'm not saying this is what Protestants believe, but I do have two in particular non-Catholic Christian friends who, and one in particular, went kind of ballistic when I mentioned that Mary is the Mother of God. And she said, well, how can you say that? You know, how can she be the Mother of God who created her? Well, that's a great mystery, isn't it? Right? So this was all argued back in 431 when there was a guy named Nestorius, he was a bishop, I believe, who was preaching that Mary could not possibly be the Mother of God. She was only the Mother of Jesus. So another person named Cyril heard about this and went out to hear it for himself. And he did. And he reported it to other bishops. And I believe the word got to the Pope that this guy named Nestorius was teaching that Mary was not possibly the Mother of God, but only the Mother of Jesus. So this brings up a good conversation. Okay. So this is to say, if someone says that Mary is not the Mother of God, but only the Mother of Jesus, well, then who is Jesus or what is Jesus? Is he not God? Well, he's God. Okay, so that should be a mic drop. That should be, you know, the end of the discussion. Okay, but Nestorius say, well, no, you know, Mary is the Mother of Jesus in his human nature, but not his divine nature, in his human nature. Well, wait a second. Jesus is not, you know, he's not two persons. He's not the God person. And then there's Jesus, the human person. He's one person with two natures. Okay. He's human and divine. He's one person. And Mary is the mother of the person, Jesus, who has the two natures. Okay. And, you know, you could say, well, wait a second. Two, you know, what mother gives birth to a nature? No, a woman gives birth to a person. And so Mary gave birth to the person, Jesus, not to a nature, not to just, you know, Jesus and his human nature, but to the person who is both human and divine. So since Jesus is human and divine, he is God. Therefore, Mary is his mother, and she must therefore be the Mother of God, which is, again, a great mystery that she held her creator in her womb and gave birth to him. Okay. And moreover, you know, when we look at scripture and the infancy narrative in the Gospel of Luke, when Mary visited Elizabeth, what is her words? She said, who am I that the mother of my Lord, capital L, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Who am I that the mother, unless Elizabeth had some other Lord that she worshiped, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? All right, so we celebrate with great love Our Lady, who is the Mother of God, the same woman who Jesus gave to all of us to be our mother, our heavenly mother. She's the mother of the angels. She's the mother of all saints. She is Our Lady, man. So we give her honor as that. All right. All right, so in any case, listen, even though I'm in a good mood, I mention this because I'm just having a gas celebrating Christmas. Had a little damper the other day because of the New England Patriots, you know, they're my team. So, you know, it kills me. They keep talking about how great their defense, number one defense. Well, they play the Dolphins in Foxborough and get beat. And it looked to me like their defense didn't even show up, you know? So, yeah, that's a little damper on things. But, you know, if they don't make it, okay, I got a backup plan. Actually, I have two backup plans. One being the Chiefs. Yeah, they're good. They're something else, aren't they? Mahomes, amazing. My other backup would be the Baltimore Ravens. So I see I got it all covered, right? So, yeah, I got some backups. So anyway, I'm just hoping that the Patriots get it together and we'll see what happens. You know, there's a rumor. I think it's actually true that Tom Brady, many years ago before playing a Super Bowl, actually flew out to Rome to get a blessing from the Pope. I'm not sure who. It was a Benedict, I think. So, I don't know. Somebody would say, you know, oh, that's cheating because he's got that reputation, I guess. All right. So, very cool. I hope you had a good Christmas. And listen, I think it's time to bring in Father Marshall, who's been waiting. And we're going to do a little cigar review. We're going to talk about the gospel coming up, or actually the from this past Christmas time and what it meant for us. All right. Come on in, Father.
Here he is. Here he is, Father Jimmy Marshall.
That's right. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I hope everybody has a great New Year, especially the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Who are playing Houston on Saturday at 2 p.m. or 2:30 or something like that in Houston. But I think that they have a very good chance of winning. I gave them like 50% chance of winning, which is not too bad if you understand who the Bills are.
Well, the thing is, you got to wonder what Bills team. Why am I crunching, man? I got like a crunch in my voice. You just have to wonder what Bills team is actually going to show up on Saturday.
Well, I don't know. That we'll have to wait and find out. But it's definitely going to be better than the Dallas Cowboy team that shows up sometimes.
Whoa. Well, they're not going to show up anytime this
not next,
playoff
not for
season.
The rest of this year.
Wow.
That wasn't nice, was it?
It wasn't nice. And we have a lot of Cowboy fans who listen
and
to this.
My program. Sympathy. I told somebody in my own congregation as they came to confession, I said, you know what your penance is? You have to go watch the Dallas Cowboys play.
Wow. Wow, that's terrible.
Well, you know.
Wow.
You know how it is, right?
Mm.
Everything's fair game.
But as we speak, you know, we're still waiting to find out if Jason Garrett has a job. But we haven't found out anything yet. They're supposed to be today. Today we're recording.
Really? If I were him, I'd quit, honestly, because, I mean, anybody who goes to the Dallas Cowboys has to, really, the problem with that team has to be the owner who won't butt out. He won't let anybody do their job.
I wouldn't.
It's a toy.
I would not work for the guy.
It's honestly his toy. So,
hey, the big winner in the NFL this year, the big winner, somebody said it on TV today. I agree with it. The Washington Redskins, because of who they just hired as their new coach.
Right. What's his name again? It's
Ron Rivera.
Ron Rivera. Yeah.
Who, by the way, is a class guy.
He really is.
He loves our military, sports our military. He's a good Christian man.
Where was he at last? Where is he?
Carolina. Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Carolina.
Right. Carolina.
Who I didn't like because of Cam Newton. I don't like Cam Newton. I don't know why. That whole Superman thing just drives me nuts.
Well, I think that he really doesn't have the... I'm trying to think of the right word.
What?
The mental toughness that a person needs to have in his position.
We saw him when he lost the Super Bowl to Peyton Manning and the Broncos. What he did at the press conference afterwards when he got up and walked out.
Yeah, that says everything, right? Tom Brady or you know any of these other guys, would they have done that? No. They would have done what they're supposed to do, right?
I just wouldn't have shown up to the press conference to begin with. Right from the locker room to the bar.
It would have been like Hillary Clinton showing up to her.
say what? What did you say? Say again?
It's like Hillary Clinton not showing up after she got deep.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Oh, I guess everybody's fair game today. Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Wow, Jimmy Marshall. Wow. Hey, So, listen, now speaking of, well, maybe I shouldn't mention this, but I'm going to anyway. Okay. So, I think it's on Spirit Daily. I know it's on Drudge too. There was from Fox News, an article concerning religion and politics, how, both sides do this too, how, you know, for many, you should check it out. Okay. So it's about, I forget who writes it, but, how some people put their political party in front of their religion. So for some Republicans, it's the Republican Party first. They think they're actually being faithful to Jesus by being Republican, right? And then on the other side, and I've experienced myself, where for some Democrats, the Democrat Party is you know, more important, or, you know, it's more important to obey the Democrat Party than it is to obey Jesus. So it's a really great article. And this all came on the heels of, you know, what's going on in the, you know, there's the evangelical churches. And so the Christianity Today slammed Donald Trump, saying he should be impeached and all of that. He's got to go. So there's other evangelicals who are coming to the defense of Donald Trump. So anyway, so this article came out, and I just invite everybody to read it because it's so true. You know, we follow Jesus. That's, you know, it's Jesus first. It's our faith first, and then our political parties come second. So again, and I've met Republicans who are like this, you know, who have this idea or a mindset that if they are following the party line of the Republican Party, then they are doing the will of God. And I've met Democrats, same thing, right? The religion comes first, like Catholics who are pro-choice.
Correct. Well, look, I was just thinking of Henry VIII, who got that whole thing mixed up, right? I mean, it's been going along. The divine right of kings goes all the way back to the Middle Ages, mm-hmm. that God is the one who chooses the kings. And, you know, when after the Protestant Reformation, you know, and when you talk about Republicans, you're usually talking about evangelicals. And when you talk about Democrats, you're usually talking about Catholics, because that's a natural kind of setting for the political culture.
Yeah.
Although there are many devout pro-life Catholics who will have nothing to do with the Democrat Party any longer for that reason.
Yeah.
And like you say, I think that people can get their priorities wrong, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about elections, mm-hmm. and that's why so many people end up being disappointed. It's just because people will disappoint you. I don't care how wonderful you may think they are. I mean, ultimately, they're not God, right? So we have to really step back, especially this time of year, and think, golly, what is it that God has done and is doing in our lives?
Mm-hmm.
My life, my family's life, my community's life, right? He's there. He's above and bigger than all of these things.
And that's exactly right. So we follow Jesus Christ. He is our King. Okay.
Right.
And his word is the final word, period. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just obey his commandments. And
hey,
and
that's not hard. Joseph and Mary, right? I mean, the whole Holy Family was oriented around fulfilling the will of God and everything, obeying him, and obeying him immediately, instantly, when they were asked to do something.
Yeah. Hey, now, by the way, should we talk? We're going to talk about the gospel in a little bit. Not right yet, but I'm just wondering, should we focus on Christmas gospel? I think we should focus on the Holy Family.
I agree with that. I would be happy to do that.
Okay. Because Christmas, the Christmas Eve thing was the long genealogy. And I was at them like, these names, my goodness, you know.
It was, you know, I this is for the first time since I was ordained, I just went with the readings for the Mass.
Yeah.
So we did all of the Gospels, all of the readings.
From the day?
Right. So I preached more on the, on what Christmas means and how important, you know, how important it is for the birth, that Jesus was born in a time and place.
Yeah.
That God created himself and caused himself to become into the human family.
Well, Christmas Eve, I read the genealogy, And I demanded an applause after the, I said, listen, you know, I worked hard on these names and I think I nailed it. So, you know, so start clapping now.
Did they applaud?
I had the servers hold up a sign that says applaud. You know. So
you didn't have the little flashing light that says applause? Applause.
No. Too expensive. I looked into it, but a little pricey. In any case, but you know what? If you're reading those, who's going to know if you mispronounce the words? I mean, there are no scholars sitting in the, you know, congregation who are going to know, right?
There's always somebody, though.
Yeah, I guess it's true. There's always somebody.
They will argue with you and say, is it ahas or ahas? I was like, okay.
Ahas. Aha. It's ahas. Aha. Remember, when we were in the seminary, Monsignor Turo, and not Turo, but Monsignor Liptak. Okay.
Oh, with the Ron.
With Ron, Ronnie. Father Ron Stone, who was, seminarian at the time. And was it Keebler or Kubler? There was a big debate about, was it Keebler or Kubler? With the umlaut over the, it was very, I can't even describe it here because you have to be able to see it, but it was just quite ridiculous. Yeah. You heard about it, right?
Yeah. You've told this story at least three or four times. You and Father Jack Grimes were sitting there, right?
Yeah, but it was like a tennis match, you know, Keebler, Kubler, like the heads going back and forth. I'm like, crazy. We'll talk about the Holy Family then.
That'd be great.
Yeah. It is cigar review time.
You like to smoke cigars. You wish your girlfriend would.
Okay, so cigar review time. Now, I just have one, and I smoked the other night. I had this Punch, the Coronation or Coronations. It's a short little cigar. I'll tell you right now. Did you see this, Father Marshall?
I did.
Yeah, and that hip.
I'm moving away to get my...
label. Sure. So this cigar was about a 5-inch cigar. It's kind of shorty. And the ring gauge is, let me see.
I would say
52, right?
Yep.
52. You see that?
Yep.
Anyways, it's
that's
nice.
A cool little... That's a neat thing, man. Where'd you get that?
This came to us from Marcel Lucero, Sr. Wow. All right?
Wow.
Who got tired of hearing us talk about ring gauges and things, and we didn't have a clue what we're talking about. We're like making stuff up. So he got this, so we know, okay?
Right.
And any case, actually, you're right. You know what? It's not a 50. That's the case. I'm putting the case through here. So it's actually, it's a 46 ring gauge. That my cigar that I smoked.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense because you got the keep metal up. Tube that it's in.
Yeah, keep up, Father Marshall.
I'm sorry. My bad.
Okay. So in any case, short little cigar, nice burn, very tasty, not harsh at all. And if you're looking for a really quick smoke that took about a half hour to smoke, you only got a limited time, I would get this because Punch makes good cigars, I think. You make
excellent cigars. No, I do. They do make great cigars.
So,
great flavor. They have variety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just there's who's the manufacturer? Who's the?
What do you mean?
Is it Garcia Vega or?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy, man. It's Hecho en Cuba. I don't know what that means.
Okay, I can't remember.
It's I don't know.
Okay,
anyway,
no
that's
problem.
What I smoked.
No problem.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think this was a Cuban.
Oh, really?
It says Habana, Cuba.
Well, all of them. Oh, maybe so. You know, all of those, again, all those brands or those, when they call Punch or Cohibas, all of the different brands, they originated in Cuba.
Yeah.
But they ended up being grown in other places.
Yeah, for good reason.
Right. To get away from the.
Oh, man. That's why I never made the basketball team. See how far off that thing was? Couldn't even make the
It wasn't gap. Bad. I mean, garbage only can. Missed it by like 15 feet. All right. So I'm going to share with you. I'm smoking a My Father right now, and you've heard me review these before. This is a fine cigar. Mm-hmm. And it's a box press, and it's I don't say you can give a ring gauge on that because it's more rectangular than round. It's about a 7-inch cigar, so it's more like a Churchill, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I did smoke a diesel rage the other night. And I don't know if you've ever had the diesel rage.
Never had a. I've had diesel, never had a diesel rage.
I'll have to get you one because that's a fine cigar. And when you light it up and it draws so nicely, you know, when you, remember, it's like you don't want to be sucking on a Lincoln log or, you know, just doesn't seem to have any real flavor to it.
Right.
But this, the diesel rage does, and it's worth trying out.
Where'd you get it?
I got it online. I get it from my cigar place, my connection.
Oh, you got a connection, don't
I got
you?
A connection. Uh-huh. Not Smitty, though.
Schmitty.
That's
people
right.
are going to go.
Schmitty.
Well, now people are going, well, who's the Schmitty guy? Well, okay, well, now we got to tell you.
All right.
So we have a friend that's Scott Chapin. He's the guy who does our intro at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
He has a house in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and he gets tickets. Really nice seats to the Packers game. So we've been out a couple of times to see the Packers. So I'm like, where do you get these tickets? Because he's not a season ticket guy. He's like, well, I got a friend named Schmitty. I'm like, well, how come we never see Schmitty? We've never got to meet Schmitty. He's like, you never will.
Schmitty. So anyhow, that's Schmitty, mm-hmm. right? So we have... I was just talking to you about the diesel rage and how and it's very mellow. It's got great flavor. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't overpower you. But I mean, but as you smoke it, it tends to get better and the flavor more, you know, becomes a little bit stronger. But it's a good cigar. It's worthwhile. Rage. Diesel rage. And on the cover of the box, there is like an etching. If you look at it just right, so it looks like somebody like who Lenin or Stalin. I'm like, what?
Rage. Well, rage, I guess.
Right.
Fits. Okay, cool. Is that your cigar review?
That's my cigar review.
Wow. You know, it's funny when Tony's here, right? Every week he reviews like the same cigar. Every time.
Does he give you something different?
No. You know, so, well, why is it different than last week, Tony?
Yeah, well.
Too funny.
It's funny. Oh, man.
All right, man. So.
Okay.
All right. So let's do this. I say we jump into this review. Okay. So we're, you know, Christmas is Christmas. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard enough Christmas homilies. So. We're going to...
I know I have.
You know, I'm so burnt out on preaching.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, at Christmas Eve at the 4 o'clock Mass, the Spirit took over, and I went full-on Baptist preacher.
Oh, really? You got out from behind the ambo?
No, and... no. I was still behind the ambo, but, man, I...
Were the people screaming, amen, brother?
No, they
Bring
were
it
just,
on.
They were shocked that I was, you know, red-faced, fire coming from my eyes. No,
really? Wow.
But it wasn't fire and brimstone. I was just talking about the reality.
You were on fire with the love for Christ, right?
That's exactly right, man.
Yeah. Good for you.
I might have scared some kids, but that's all right. But the people who were sleeping woke up, I'll tell you that. What's going on? What's going on? Okay, I'm digging up the gospel now, okay? So
Well, what? Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm just trying to fill in that empty space that exists between my ears, but
and it's huge. It's like the Grand Canyon.
Cavernous.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
So this is from the Feast of Holy Family. All right. Which is the celebration of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus.
Right.
Okay. Not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's Trinity. That's the Trinity.
Has somebody asked you that question? Because
no,
never occurred to me.
Yeah. Well, a long time ago.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Okay. So here we go. So it's Matthew 2 and so on, 2:13 through 23. When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So he rose, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place that is of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. And because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. There's your gospel. All right.
I have a question.
Sure.
He shall be called a Nazarene. Is that in the scriptures? Except just other than there?
You're saying, is it in the, like the...
Like in the Old Testament? Because typically that's the, you know, they're quoting from the Old Testament prophecies.
Mm-hmm. But I'd have to get, I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, that's something for us to maybe get
I'd have to get my Bible commentary.
Oh, well, give people homework to do.
Yeah.
Find out if that's in the Old Testament, that prophecy. That he will be called a Nazarene.
Yeah, why would you doubt that it is, though?
I'm not doubting it. I just never remember seeing it. Sorry. Yeah.
That's what happens when you smoke 4 cigars a day.
That's true.
Part of it.
I'm on the first one right now.
Really? You mean you didn't have a...
No, I left Taos. I was up in Taos last night with my lady friends. Uh-huh. Father Dino was going to meet up with us, but then he got sick. So we had dinner, and I got to meet some of the ladies' nephews and nieces and so on, and got to talk to them. They were up there skiing in Taos, man. I know that we're getting off track here, but...
That's okay. That's all right, because you know what I just found?
Aha, okay.
Yeah.
So
I just got to look it up, but go
ahead.
Yeah,
I've never seen... I have seen it, but it's been a long time since I've seen so much snow on the mountain in Taos. They have 5 feet of snow. They were skiing in powder.
Really?
Really nice. So I got a chance to talk to a couple of them, and one of the nephews... or nieces lives in Denver, goes to one of the Catholic churches there, I think teaches in the school there. But he's a scratch golfer. And we were talking about golf. And when Father Scott and I go up there to visit with Paul Yarbrough, we'll probably get in touch with this guy and play some golf. So
nah.
that was my trip.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So did you find it?
I did. Now listen to this. Now, by the way, we're going to be playing golf in Phoenix in a few weeks.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What are we doing? What gospel are we reading? What day is this? What's going on?
This is Matthew's gospel. Come on.
So this is from the Navarra Bible Commentary. Listen to this. And this is interesting that you brought this up, okay? Many prophets predicted that the Messiah would suffer poverty and contempt. But the words, he shall be called a Nazarene, are not to be found as such in any prophetic text. They are rather, as St. Jerome points out, a summary of the prophet's teaching in a short and expressive phrase.
Wow.
And it continues, however, St. Jerome himself says that the name Nazarene fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah 11:1, Christ is the shoot of the entire race of Abraham and David. So, yeah, so it's, there you go. I'm glad you brought that up because I never would have thought that. And you did. So now I know.
and now that you know, everyone else who's listening knows. Yeah. Millions of listeners are discovering something new.
Millions. Millions minus millions. No, that's okay. Well, we like to pride ourselves on the fact that we have 12 listeners. Or up to 13, 14 actually.
Okay, so...
And if you listen to this podcast, you'll be 15.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. So in any case, go ahead.
No, I think that probably the next thing that stands out for me in this gospel is obedience, not just the obedience of Joseph, who, and that's mostly gospel is about him, right? Because the angel comes to him in the dream and says, go, take the child. Now that Herod is dead, bring him back. Okay, now go over here, go over there. And Joseph does it. He does it without questioning God's plan. And Mary herself, I mean, if you think about it, and the second reading, by the way, from the letter to Colossians, the last part of that reading says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. I think that Mary exemplifies that reality by virtue of the fact that she simply, where Joseph goes, she goes as well. And they take their son with them. So, I mean, there's some real lessons in obedience to each other and respect for one another, but also primarily in fulfilling the will of God because they trust him implicitly, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
Okay, so on that, okay, so let's just take Joseph first of all, okay?
Okay.
So the angel appears to him, and we know, by the way, it's not just an angel, it's the angel of the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who says, Joseph, son of David, thus identifying Joseph as being from the line, okay?
Right.
Right, of David, right? So Joseph doesn't say, well, you know, he scratches his head. I need to think about this for a few days.
Uh-huh.
I got to consult my lawyer, you know? He doesn't say that. He says yes to the angel. So the Lord is speaking through the angel, instructing, giving Joseph instruction through the angel. And Joseph, who's a man of faith, is faithful to, first of all, the word of the Lord. He doesn't count the cost.
Right.
Right? He doesn't sit down and say, well, come back tomorrow. I got to figure this out. Not sure, you know? And those, by the way, Jesus, when he preached, he was speaking about such people who would say that. Let me go bury my dead mother.
That's
first.
Right. That's right. I brought that up too. Yeah.
I got some business, you know, I got to tend to. And Jesus said what? Those who put their hand to the plow but keep looking back are not fit for the kingdom of God. So Joseph, we see that he is fit because he says yes to the angel, right? And then also in the text we just read, when the angel again appeared and said, Joseph, you know, flee. Okay, here's your instruction. And then Joseph carried it out. Okay. Then when we speak about the obedience, so Joseph was obedient to God. Okay. And by being obedient to the Lord, what was he? He took care of the family entrusted to him. Right.
That's right. He fulfilled the role of a father.
That's right.
As a protector and a provider for his family.
Right.
Not that women can't provide and protect their families too.
Right.
But
right.
Typically,
but in a different way.
Right.
So look, put it this way. If you're going to be a man who is called to be a husband and a father, first and foremost, he is being called by God to be a protector and a provider.
That's right.
Exactly right.
And he did just that.
He did just that. Okay. But then let's consider the Blessed Mother for a minute. Okay.
Okay.
Because here is a woman who is greater than Joseph. Because she's already foretold in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, because she is the woman who gives birth to the child who crushes the head of the serpent. So the woman is Mary, the new Eve.
Right.
As the early church fathers taught. She is greater than Joseph because, you know, she is the saint of saints. She is the highest saint. Okay. And she becomes the mother of all the saints. So while Joseph is her husband, right?
Right.
She nonetheless becomes his mother spiritually at some point when Jesus.
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting.
Well, think about
it.
I like that. When Jesus says to John, behold your mother.
Yeah.
She became the mother of all the saints.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So now she's greater than Joseph, but yet she was obedient to him.
Right.
And
that's what the point I was getting at.
Because she knew that what Joseph was doing was following the law and the will of God.
That's right.
So she submitted to her husband knowing it pleased the Lord because the Lord had entrusted this family to him.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's consider the child who is God.
Yeah.
Oh, and Mary, was she obedient to the Lord? Same thing as Joseph when the angel appeared and said, you're going to give birth to this child. Well, I don't know. That's a big, I don't know if I can do that.
Who am I?
You know, that's a lot of, wow, I don't know. Let me talk to my parents. I'm not sure. You know, she said yes to the Lord. Okay?
Yeah, think about that. Now, what you just said is kind of funny because let me go talk to my my parents about this? This angel appeared to me and says, I'm supposed to be. No, I don't. It just.
What? I don't see the humor in it, but that's okay. I'm just trying to wonder why you're giggling.
It is kind of, but if you think about it, put it just in everyday terms, right? In the course of everyday life, your daughter comes to you and says, well, this angel appeared to me and wants me to be the mother of God. It's like, okay, but that obviously Mary's parents were very much in tune with what was going on. So
yeah, what would they have said though had she said that? Well, I guess they were in tune, right?
They knew that she was special.
Yeah,
when they, you know, when they dedicated her to the temple at the age of 3, yeah, which is the tradition of the church. They knew that God had something special in mind.
But you always wonder how much did they know? I know that Zechariah knew because Zechariah knew what was going on.
That's right.
And so did Anna. No, right. Elizabeth. Elizabeth.
Oh, right. Elizabeth. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Elizabeth knew.
Right. But the two, but we're also talking, well, that's right, because John the Baptist, right?
Well, we know that Elizabeth, because when Mary visited her,
she said that the mother of my Lord should come
exactly
to me.
Right.
Right.
So she knew what was going on.
She was filled with the Holy Spirit at that moment.
So you just wonder, though, how much did Joachim and Anna know? How much? Well,
you have to get to heaven to find that one out.
Yeah. How much did they know, right? So that's a good question we could speculate on. So any case, now the child,
right,
who is the Messiah,
right?
Who is he obedient to? He was obedient to his father, even unto death.
Right.
Even unto death. We know that when Jesus was in the garden on the eve of his being, you know, on the eve of the passion, is being, you know, crucified. Father, let this cup pass by me, but not as I will, as you will.
Right.
So he's obedient to his father. Now he's also obedient because he's obedient to his father. He was obedient to his earthly parents.
That's right.
Joseph, his father, foster father, 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 foster father.
Say it fast.
And to his mother, okay, his earthly mother, mother, my goodness, what is it? Mutter. Can I have a nutter butter, peanut butter sandwich cookie? he's obedient to them, okay? And he doesn't say, you know, when they find him in the temple and Mary says, come along, son. Excuse me?
He was obedient to them.
Hello,
you're talking.
I'm the Messiah. Hello, I'm the Messiah. I'll come home when I'm darn good and ready. You know, when I'm done doing my father's business, then I'll come home. In the meantime, excuse me, you answer to me. I'm the Messiah.
Now you bring up something real. We're talking about obedience, right? And how Christ, who is the creator of the universe and everything that is, who created his own mother, becomes subject to the very person and persons that he created. And even to the point that he allowed himself to be taught how to pray, had to. Yeah. He had to listen to the lessons about who God is. Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it and all of that. I did bring that up in the talk, and I said, you know, for the last 50 years or so, at least since the 60s and the sexual revolution, we have participated in an experiment that has been the result of very bitter fruit. And it's all based on radical individualism and rebelliousness. And so a whole culture in rebellion against God leads to all kinds of problems in society.
Right.
And it starts in the family. The family has to be the foundation upon which any civilization is built. And you've all heard this, right? This is all cliched. Oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But it's true. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true that a family has to be the basis on which we can build any kind of peaceful society.
Well, society's built on families.
Right. That's right.
So if family life is sick, then society is sick.
That's right.
And something that's sick dies.
Good point.
Yeah.
So that's major lessons of the Holy Family.
Well, but listen, and I'm glad you brought up the family as a whole, because as a unit, okay, first of all, they were obedient as one, as a family, they were obedient to God.
That's exactly right.
Okay, and they kept his precepts and not just, you know, the law itself, but the practices.
Right.
They took they made sure Jesus was taken to the temple to be dedicated.
That's right.
He was circumcised.
Right.
They took him to the temple. They took him to the synagogue. They taught, you're right. They taught him his prayers. They taught him everything he needed to know, of course, and he's God. You just wonder exactly when did he, right, realize? That's a good question. We could speculate all day. I mean, was Jesus a two-year-old knowing that he is the Messiah? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think there was a time when he didn't know that he was God. But that's hard. I mean, how does that
Yeah, but it's like, yeah.
How work do you, in terms of his human growth? Because he grew in wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah.
Remember?
So, I mean, it's all fascinating. Mm-hmm. We'll know when we yeah. pass from this life into
right.
the next, you know, but as a unit, they were faithful to the Lord. All right. So that, you know, what an example they give us to our families to be, first of all,
there
obedient
go.
To God and to go to Mass on Sundays and days of obligation and have a prayer life
That's
in
right.
your family.
That's right.
Okay. And make sure your children are getting the sacraments, you know,
well,
right. when they're infants. And the baptism and the other sacraments so
That's
important.
Right. You
know?
So if it's good enough for the Holy Family to follow the precepts and the rules that govern their religious life and their family life, mm-hmm. then who are we to exempt ourselves from that those very precepts and rules?
Right, but we know more. We know better.
We're so much more enlightened.
And
I
this
know.
Is 2020 almost, and you know we're so enlightened nowadays that you know, come on. And you know what? I got a lot to say on this. Okay, so I want to go back to what you said about the family. It is a unit, and it's a unit, a unity. As a unit, it's a unity of love and respect.
Right.
Okay, and this is why obedience is so important, because obedience is proof. It's an exhibition or a manifestation of one's love and respect.
For authority.
Authority.
For proper authority, but also, what you say about love is very important. Because it's love that is the engine that drives that obedience, right?
Right. But we have to understand what love is.
Well,
it goes beyond just old feelings. Because a guy might think,
right, yeah.
I don't have feelings for you anymore, therefore I don't love you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to make a decision, okay, to follow what the Lord has given you and trusted to you.
Uh-huh.
And it has nothing to do with what you feel, okay? Seriously.
You've wounded me.
I'm
a victim now.
I'm just not feeling it anymore. Well, then you're going to run and just destroy your family. That's what you're going to do?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's
so be
exactly
obedient
right.
to God, okay? And mm-hmm. choose to love in those cases,
right.
all right?
And there's plenty of examples, by the way, in history where both men and women have been in terrible marriages mm-hmm. where one spouse is unfaithful or you know, other things enter in, mental illness, addictions, and things like that. And they stuck with this person,
yeah.
you know, up. We have to be careful by, you know, if there's a real danger to children, you know, physical danger like that, you don't stick with that person, right? Or at least stay with them. But, you know, all things being equal, if it's something that you have to endure some emotional stress and pain, well, you know, something, you're trying to get that person to heaven and as a result, you know, grow in holiness yourself.
Right.
I mean, these are
right.
Difficult things to talk about, but I mean,
of course.
It's something to think about.
Sure. So, but in any case, you know, going back to this unity thing. So if you prove, well, listen, what did Jesus say? If you love me, you will keep my word. You will keep my commandments.
That's right.
If you love me. So if you say you love me, then keep my commandments. So obey me if you love me.
Right.
Okay. So in a unit where there suddenly is disobedience, okay, you know what I'm saying? That
mm-hmm.
does damage to the unity of the unit. And in many cases, as we see, destroys that unity or that unit altogether.
Right.
You follow me?
Right.
So if a man is not being faithful to the law of God and therefore not being faithful to his wife, what does that do to that unit?
It creates unity and dysfunctionality, right?
Exactly right.
And which is what we're dealing with in our society today. Many young people don't even know what it is that they're supposed to do.
Well, it's, you know, it's that, it's the whole thing of, what is it? The entitlement mentality.
Sure.
So, you know, there used to be a time when people would work hard to get what they need. Now it's, you know, I want and I'm entitled to it.
Right.
So give it to me.
Right.
Right. And with that comes the, used to be a time when we would, you know, I'm pretty hopeful that a lot of people are still this way, that we have to accept and be submissive to authentic, real authority. Okay, but a lot of people have it in their head now as authority needs to bow down to me, right? And we see this. Look at how our police are disrespected by so many.
Yeah, well, anybody in a position of authority.
And looking in families where children, you know, there's no obedience, and they think the parents, in some family units, it's the kids who's calling the shots.
That's right. The inmates are running the asylum.
Well, yeah, you know, so, you know, what is that doing? It's not good.
No,
not at all good. So, you know, we need to recapture this idea of obedience. It's so important, you know, to authentic authority.
Let's look at it from another angle too, that also is relative to the obedience. The whole idea of obedience is that both Joseph and Mary, and Jesus too, they deny them, they empty themselves, or they become submissive to the other. In other words, mm-hmm. their needs and their wants come second. And, you know, that's true for parents who have small children. Mm-hmm. You know, they go without. They do without certain creature comforts in order to make sure that their children have what they need.
Isn't that what love is, though?
That is.
Love always seeks the good of the other person. It doesn't seek the good of the self.
Right.
Because if it seeks the good of itself, it's selfish, and that's not love.
No.
It might be infatuation.
And selfishness leads to divorce.
Of course. You know, of course.
Right. So.
So listen, I think the point is that obedience. I don't know why I had trouble getting that one out, but obedience is so important, and we got to relearn it. You know, so important.
And it starts with me.
It starts with me, of course.
You know, obedience to proper authority.
Right. Right. So, all right. Is that it?
That's it, man. I think we covered it pretty much.
I thought that was right.
And one last thing, you know, sure. Go Bills.
You know, I'm very disappointed in my team.
They're not playing very well.
But, yeah.
Who did they lose to? The Jets?
No, they lost to the Dolphins.
To the Dolphins, that's even worse.
But what kills me is like, oh, they got the best defense. This is the number one defense. Well, where were they on Sunday? Terrible. They didn't even show up. Kidding?
I think they're tired playing, honestly. They're probably think, I'd rather go to Florida and play golf with Father Marshall and Father Scott Mansfield.
Yeah, that's probably
Or it. Phoenix, you know.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
But so I have two backups.
Oh, good.
The Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They're my backup teams.
I like both of those teams. I like, who's the quarterback, Kansas City? What's his name?
Mahomes.
Yeah, he's a great, he's got a great attitude.
He's good. And you know, he's a former, also baseball player.
That's right.
His father was a pro. His father was a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
And that's probably, you know, a lot of his throwing, if you look at the motion of
the
arm angle
and everything,
it's from baseball.
Yep.
So it makes him so good, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing if you get the right camera angles with these guys that they don't just throw from one position. They throw from many different positions, and they're accurate when they do it.
Mm. So primetime, Deion Sanders the other day was on TV. I was watching him because I like him. I'm a fan.
I'm a big fan of Deion, too.
You know, I didn't, when he was on the Cowboys, I hated him. I couldn't stand him because he was a Cowboy. All right, but
then he went to the 49ers.
Still I didn't like him because I just thought he was a loudmouth. But on TV now, Bradshaw's another guy I couldn't stand. But now I like him.
Yeah.
Being on TV, you get to know their personalities. But
right.
Deion, I every Sunday night I got to tune in because I just love to listen to him.
He has things. That's like Tony Romo, too, right? Because they understand the game.
Exactly, right?
And they make it enjoyable.
Yeah, so he was saying the other day, he's like saying, kids, learn to play two sports.
Oh,
not just football, But because look at the guys who, the receivers who played basketball.
Right.
They have the ability to jump up over their defenders and catch balls.
Right.
You know, so it's I think he's right. You know,
there was a time when that was common, right? Because when I was in high school, I tried to play three sports, but too many injuries. But I did play two sports for sure, at least until I became a senior. And then, but now everything is so specialized. You have kids going to all these camps, and they take them over here and they take them over there, and that has become more and more predominant. That they're going to specialize in one sport and one sport only. Yeah. You know what? It's about having fun.
Yeah. I played three sports.
You did?
I did. I played Asteroids, Pac-Man, and Pinball Machine.
Dang.
No, I kind of raced around motorcycles a little bit, and
that's a sport.
Yeah, well, right?
That's
a
pretty dangerous sport,
five concussions later, I had to quit.
Yeah.
But I played, you know, street football. I played little league basketball, which was a blast, and played the, you know, playground baseball, which was, you know, always fun.
Sure.
But, I just love sports and just love them. You know what I use, and I still watch people are like, how can you watch this professional bowling? I just love to watch it on Saturday afternoon.
What you probably caught something from, Father Michael De Palma, huh?
Yeah.
Watches that.
Well, he's all into that.
I know.
He watch anything.
Any sport.
Any sport. You know, they have a spelling bee he's going to watch. Like he'll like take a day off of work to watch the spelling bee.
Yeah. Well, he goes to the New Mexico State basketball tournament every year. He takes that time. And those games are really a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, they're a blast.
Yeah,
those kids are good, man.
Yeah, they really are.
Hey, since we're talking sports, give us a prediction on the Super Bowl. Let's see how right you are.
I really thought it was going to be San Francisco and Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure anymore. I watched the San Francisco-Seattle game, and San Francisco is good. They're a very good football team. Mm-hmm.
But?
But they just don't show up sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So... If everything works out the way it should be Baltimore and San Francisco, but I think the wild card has to be against Seattle, even though they looked bad losing to San Francisco. Although again, they almost came back. Green Bay Packers, I think, have an outside chance.
Oh yeah.
Who else? Who's the other?
Well, the Saints, man.
Yeah, that's right. The Saints are there. I think that. So if you want to say four teams then, right? In New England, you can never count them out either. So five teams, right? San Francisco, Baltimore, Seattle,
mm-hmm.
New Orleans, Green Bay, and New England. Six teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Pick them.
Well, I'm going to go with... I'm telling you, I think it's going to be the Saints and the Chiefs. I think.
Wow, that's a good choice.
Yeah,
that's very possible. What we're saying is that all these teams who are,
mm-hmm.
who have, you know, they all have
they're all good.
The possibility of making it there.
Yeah,
just depends on how many bad calls they get.
But who knows? The Bills might surprise everybody too. Who knows?
No, they don't. I don't think they have the offense. Their defense is awesome, but
defense wins games.
Yeah. Well. Maybe. Maybe.
Right, we'll see. All right. Anyway, join us next time when we talk about something else. All right.
when we were talking about after the Super Bowl, when it's talking about Major League Baseball. So what do you think is going to be?
Mm-hmm. Let me guess. The Yankees.
That's a good choice. They got.
Well, I don't know.
They got Garrett Cole.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So
it's too early for that. Still like, you know, wintertime.
The Angels.
Yeah. We'll see.
Those are things that interest me. So,
yeah. All right. So sjvnm.org. Listen, Freudians, we're building on a church. Okay. So if you want to donate, you can do so. We'd appreciate it. Sjvnm.org and go to where it says building campaign and help us build our church. Okay. All right.
All right. God bless everybody.
Yeah. Oh, and we'll mention it next. We got another, let me see if I can pull this up real quick. Well, I can't. So we got some more reviews, and I'll be reading those next week, okay? Anyway, that's a happy Christmas. Oh, and you can say Christmas up until February 2nd, by the way. You can still say it, and it's
until
legit.
February 2nd? Yeah. You mean January?
No, presentation. That's Christmas time.
Oh, that's right.
In the old way.
Wow.
Yeah. So if I say to you, happy Christmas, hey, it's February 1st, then I'm not.
Can I share a story with you real quick?
Sure.
You just reminded me of something. Do we have time?
Of course we got time. We got all the time. It's a podcast. We can do whatever we want.
I like to go to the range in Las Lunas and every once in a while I'll sit at the counter. And this girl works there and she's a... She's just a kind of disconnected from any kind of faith community. She used to belong to this little church that is now defunct. And so we were talking about, you know, church and about Christmas. And I said, by the way, that Christmas for Catholics lasts longer than just one day. We celebrate Christmas within the octave of Christmas and even beyond that.
Well, sure. It's up until liturgically, it's the baptism.
Right.
Which is going to be not this weekend, but the following.
Right. And she looked at me and she said, I like that. I said, well, think about it. I said, this is really an important time. So, you know, I did ask her, I said, are you an evangelical? And she put her head down. She looked at me and says, what's evangelical? Okay. I said, well, maybe we could talk about that later.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So say goodbye.
All right, goodbye. God bless you.
God bless you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch... artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.